Blog Talk Radio.
Our communities have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. Tonight we are having part two of Living Together in Peace and Community. So I see that two of our hosts guests are on, Dr. Ridge and Sister Ann. I'm opening their mics. And Sister Majida.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Carlton.
How are you all doing this evening?
We're doing just fine, thank you.
All praise due to Allah.
Okay. Well, as you stated, we are getting ready for part two of our discussion on community, building community, and how to coexist in communities. Dr. Risley has done some research, and I have too a little bit. And in speaking with him, I understand now why it is so important to talk about where we were as a people opposed to where we are now, and bring us up to date. So, Dr. Risley, I'm going to let you start off by talking about what you have discovered.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. I'm going to read you a quote from an interview that they did with this Amish person in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I just to follow up on the on the, this interview that I read and posted. We went up to a Amish Mennonite community, and I just started to talk to some people, and because I think they have decided, they made a decision to live together, and it's based upon their faith. And I just want to read some of what this man said. I'm going to start right at the nitty-gritty, then I'm going to come back to it. Okay. This is when the coronavirus hit last in 2020. And, you know, everything was shutting down. And this is what this man, Mr. Lapp, said. It's a worse thing to quit working than dying. Working is more important than dying. But to shut down and say that we can't go to church, we can't get together with family, we can't see our old people in the hospital, we got to quit working, is going completely against everything that we believe. You are changing our culture completely to try and act like they wanted us to act last year. And we're not going to do it. Okay? I'm going to read that part again. Working is more important than dying. And let me go back up at the beginning of his conversation. There's three things the Amish don't like. I want you to listen very carefully, because I think you can hear something similar to what we are supposed to be believing. Okay. There are three things the Amish don't like. And that's government. They won't get involved in the government. They don't like the public education system. They won't send their children to education. And they also don't like the health system. They rip us off. Those are the three things that we feel like we're fighting against all the time. Well, those three things are all part of what COVID is. When they take This is him talking. When they take communion, talking about the Amish and Mennonites, they dump their wine into a cup, and they take turns to drink out of that cup. So you go the whole way down the line, and everybody drinks out of the cup. If one person has coronavirus, the rest of the church is going to get coronavirus. The first time we went back to church, everybody got coronavirus. So everybody got the coronavirus. But this article, the title of the article is How Amish Communities Became the First to Achieve COVID Herd Immunity Without Higher Death Rate, Shutdown, Mask, or Vaccines. Okay? How Amish Communities Became the First to Achieve COVID Herd Immunity Without Higher Death Rate, Shutdown, Mask, or Vaccines. As a matter of fact, the Amish didn't slow down. They sped up when everybody else was shutting down, hiding out. The Amish got busy, and he said that they made more money last year than they ever made. They kept working. They kept producing. As you may know, the Amish, number one, they do get dairy cows, so they sell milk. But the main thing they sell, that's for the internally mostly, the main thing they sell to the outside is they're great carpenters. So you see a lot of these ready-made little storage buildings. A lot of those are of the Amish, and they also put up greenhouses and other build homes. I mean, they're very good at carpentry. And the women, they're very good at quilt making. And they make flowers to sell to florists, the flowers. So they make money selling to the outside world, but they do very much buying from the outside world. And they completely insular, food, clothing, and shelter. And they take care of themselves. So and they like being with each other, because they said that they couldn't handle the shutdown where they couldn't see one another. They couldn't go to the hospital if somebody was sick, and they very seldom go to the hospital. But you know, they couldn't send people. They wouldn't send people to the hospital. And when people got COVID, they didn't go to the hospital. Even when they got real sick, they did not go to the hospital. And they did not take the outside man's drugs. And most of them, matter of fact, that percentage-wise, they, no more people died amongst them than died amongst all those people who taken all those social distancing and all that type of stuff. And now they got herd immunity. Well, they're not afraid of the Delta variant or any type of variant because it's still COVID and they got protection. And I just visited with an Amish guy today, early today. And so, you know, I asked, do you take the shot? He said, no, we don't take the shot. Then he said, you know, I heard them shots kill people. So that's just how, you know, they don't have TV. You know, so they're not caught up in this world. And our issue is that we do not want to follow the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. As simple as that.
Right.
We got one foot in the grave and one foot in the teachings. We love the teachings, but we're still hanging out with Negroes, old friends. Okay. We're still trying to live the lifestyle of the enemy.
Mm.
And so, and then we don't want to be amongst each other because Sister Ann was reading something as we was coming home about the Amish, about this strict, what we call it, discipline, restrictive law, and what they call the shunning, when you break the law, they shun you. You know, that's, we call that class C, right?
Right.
And time out, right?
Mm-hmm. And not only and not only the person who violated, but the whole family.
Mm. Yep, they put the whole family on the shun. They don't throw them out. They don't kick them out of the house and they're like that, can live in the community. But they shun them until they bring the family in line with the program. And
but
so,
you know, even that wouldn't work a lot of times with us because you have living in the same household people who believe differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole family has to be shunned. And see, that's why we don't want to be in a community of just righteous Muslims, because then everybody had to be righteous Muslims. And we don't want that. We want to be able to play a little bit, you know, and we don't want to give up on this world. And that's why we don't come together. I mean, but the Amish, they made a decision. I got to get down to this other part. Cause see, here's the main thing. They said that it's a worse thing to quit working than dying. Working is more important than dying. Now you go talk to a Negro like that. What do you mean working more important than dying? No, man, you got to live first. No, he said working is more important than dying. In other words, I'm not going to sit here afraid of death and stop working because that's against my principles. That's my culture. That's against my religion not to work.
Right.
And yet what we're trying to do is figure out a way to make money without working.
Without working.
We don't
want
to work with our hands.
Without working.
We want to get somebody else to do the work and we get paid. Okay? We're trying to figure out a way to flim-flam. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
To hustle. We don't want to work with our hands. Now, if you work with your hands and you produce a product, like I said, the men are great carpenters. And the women make quilts, and they sell their quilts, and they sell their flowers to the outside world. So they got money.
And
they make money.
And they can.
Mm-hmm. And they got we went up there to go to the restaurant, but we missed it. The restaurant opened from Tuesday to Thursday from 11 to 2. And then on Friday, they opened from 11 to 2. They opened up again. From I think 4 to 6, on Fridays and Saturdays. But during the week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, it opened 11 to 2. And we missed them because we went up there around about 4:30, 5 o'clock. But so they got restaurants. And so they do sell products and serve the outside world. And so they get their money, but they don't spend a whole lot of money. They make their own clothes. And so it's very similar to the Nation of Islam, and they have a different belief system. You know, they believe in going to heaven after they die and Jesus Christ, and the way, you know, they teach it in Christianity. But they live their life the way we are supposed to live ours, and we believe that we're supposed to be building a heaven on earth, but nobody wants to do the building.
Wow.
You know, everybody wants to sit up in there, but somebody got to work. Somebody got to build it. And these people believe that what? It's a worse thing to quit working than dying. Working is more important than dying. So that means that they said, look, we just can't sit around and do nothing.
Right.
You know? And we can't not have communion with each other. We can't have communion. No, we just have to die on our faith. And guess what? They got herd immunity. No more people died amongst them than anybody else. And now they got herd immunity. They ain't worried about no Delta variant, nothing else. So the Lord going to take care of them. See? Ain't we supposed to be like that? No, everything is real. No, you mean everything is real the way the white man says it's real. That's what you mean. Everything is real the way the street says it's real. That's what you mean. Everything is real. That means you. What you mean is, yeah, I hear what y'all saying, but the street say this. The white man say this. You in this country, and it's like this. I mean, everything's real, you know. Okay. Everything's real. One pandemic after another. Because they're going to make more variants, more viruses. This is biowarfare. So we got to get insular, how to live, one meal a day, eating the right foods, growing our own food, because the food has been poisoned for a long time. Okay? That's why people walk around huge, huge. I don't even know how to get in their car. Huge. Can't you see something wrong? So we already these comorbidities based upon the messed up food. Now they're coming with the kill shot, you know, to knock you out. And we're sitting ducks. And now when you take the shot, they say, well, you take the shot, and now you want two shots for Moderna, and now you're safe. And then they come back later on, 6 months later. Well, not really.
Right.
Come on, y'all.
Right.
But, again, the Amish have made it. They made their decision. They're not. They pulled out, and guess what? They are protected because they are letting nature and correct eating take care of their body instead of the white man. The English, they call it the English. You know, Mennonites are white, Amish are white too, but they call the outsiders, they call them English.
Wow. English, the English. Wow.
The English, yeah. So it can be done. They've proved it, and
exactly.
You know, they're not suffering. They got money. They got land. They got businesses. I mean, you go up in Americas, you know, there's two or three. It is the places that build these little small buildings. These are around the side of the road. You going up later on? You got the restaurant. You going up? They got their the dairy. So I mean, you know, and then they got around the corner. They have where we get peaches at. That's owned by the Mennonites, the Amish. Where you get them peaches at?
That's what's owned that, by Montezuma Browns? Is that Brown?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's part of their community. So, you know, they making money. They working, though. And we want to make money without working. And we don't want to be on a farm. That's too much work. And we don't want to be around Muslims, because then we can't act like Negroes. So that's my rant for the day. But I put it on my Facebook page, the Mennonites, I mean the Amish, and they both
I was gonna say they are the same.
Yeah, they are the same. We looked it up. Amish, Mennonites are the same. And but they have beat COVID without the higher death rates, without shutdown, without masks, without vaccines. That's where we should be.
Hey, we have a caller, Dr. Ridgely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You have a caller. Can I get the caller? Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Caller with the last four digits, 1383. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Ula Bakir from Detroit, Michigan, mosque number one. And my comment is I read the other day that the mask providing for us are weaponized. It seems as though, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, that the devil is doing all he can to get us to go down with him, except giving us freedom and equality. And that's my comment. Thank you for
that. Okay. I didn't hear it completely.
So Sister Ula was saying that the masks that they give us are weaponized.
Yeah, the masks that you buy are weaponized. I've been reading up on that. I've even seen videos of showing you what's in the mask. You got cotton fiber, and then you got these other fibers that move when you blow moisture on it. It don't move from the wind. It moves towards the moisture. Those masks are weaponized. The same things in those masks is what they put in your nose when you get tested.
When they swab you.
When you swab you, way up your nose, it's putting stuff in there. It's the same things that's in the mask. So, I mean, they just, you know, the best way if you can make your own mask out of cloth, out of cotton, make your own mask. But would you buy? These people, look, back in March of 2020, there was an article that came out. You know how the devil would tell the truth one time, but he'd pull it back. The Mossad was caught stealing the test kits. I said, why would the Mossad, you know, the Mossad is secret agents for Israel. Why would they steal the test kits? I said, they're getting ready to jam the poison people with the test kits. So they take them, and they change the swabs, put the new swabs in there, and put them back out to the people, and getting the swabs is inoculation of these nanobots, these things that are actually programmable, and they're looking to get into your brain. The whole COVID-19 was just a way to scare you to get the vaccine and to do whatever they're telling you to do, like don't go out. Well, you don't go out in the sun. Best thing for you is fresh air and sunshine. So you're saying it's cooped up inside. Then you go outside where you should be getting fresh air. You put a mask on, and you're breathing back your own stuff that you should be getting rid of. You're bringing it back in. So everything told you to do was backwards. And I know some of y'all are thinking, and I'm not going to even talk about that right now, because guess what? The whole issue of the mask is under observation and scrutiny, and we should be getting some feedback from Chicago, because there is a debate going on. And so, you know. But all I can say is the Amish have proved it. Herd immunity without higher death rate, shutdown, mask, or vaccine.
And we have another caller, Dr. Ridgely.
Yes.
Okay.
Caller with the last four digits, 8262. What's your name and where are you calling from? You're on the air.
I apologize. This is Sister Niambe calling from Atlanta.
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to say, Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann, you both have made some very, very good points. And when it comes to the Muslims living together, well, for one, let me go back to the point you made about the Mennonites and the Amish making money, and, you know, they have a successful community because they think and live collectively. They live as a collective. And number one, they are not concerned with, like, they all wear the same thing. Their garments are pretty much the same, so nobody's competing. You know, nobody's
right.
worried about the latest tennis shoes and all of that. So the money goes back into the business or go towards things that are absolutely needed to keep their lifestyle going and operating at an optimum level. So that's where we have to make the change, you know, in our thinking. It's where are we going nowadays? You know, there should really be no competition amongst us when it comes to things like that, because Allah has made it as such, we're not going anywhere. So who's going to see
right.
you in these clothes or tennis shoes anyhow? So, and then you have the piece, Dr. Ridgely, I think, alluded to, where, you know, we just want to, he said, we want to still act like Negroes. And this is a big, this is not to be minimized. We have to really consider, we're going to have to live amongst one another because we're not
right.
going to be safe until we
right.
get away from them. We're not
right.
going to be safe from this virus until we get away from these people who are spreading the virus. And so we're going to
right.
have to live amongst one another. So we need to make a decision now that we're going to change. Because you're either going to change or you're going to die. Those are the only two options, because if you don't live the way that we're supposed to live, we're not going to allow you to stay amongst us. So death is the only other option in truth. So we should be excited about now Dr. Ridgely always jokes with me because I came to the farm. You know, we were picking weeds, and I got dizzy. No, I'm a city girl raised by my great grandparents, spoiled to death. But I work at a different level. I don't do a lot of manual labor, but I do a lot of work. But I know that as we transition out of, you know, where we've been made lazy and we want something for nothing. I mean, this is the general consensus. You know, we want something for nothing. I didn't understand that until I owned real estate and how my tenants wanted to live in my property for free. And so, you know, something for nothing only leads to death. It's to trying to get something for nothing, that is not the way of God. So we're going to have to, Dr. Ridgely, you're going to have to be a little patient with some of us, you know, with us city folk who are transitioning out of city life because we know
I'm
it's hard work.
Well, I'm very patient. I'm very
patient.
Because what?
Okay.
I'm already here.
Yes, sir.
Right.
I'm just trying to get y'all to make y'all move. I mean, I am very patient. I ain't going nowhere. I mean, I'm already here.
Yes, sir.
I'm already here.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, I'm very patient. Y'all the ones that got to be patient with yourself because y'all the ones who are suffering. I'm already here.
Yes, sir. Very true. So, well, we should be excited about the opportunity to live amongst one another and live the kind of life that Allah desires for us to live. So those
mm-hmm.
are my thoughts. I thank you for allowing me to speak. Assalamu alaikum. You're welcome.
Salam. Thank you for being very honest about our real problem.
Yes.
You know, we want something for nothing. And guess what? The trader made an interpretation that we can get more gold for our labor than we receive in our own country. Then did we get the gold? No, we got stole.
Yeah. Disappeared.
We got disappeared. And then he comes with a new bucket of fake gold. And here we go running. And then we get wind up in this trap, in this trick, in that trap. Come on, y'all. You want something for nothing. You get played. Somebody gonna give me something for nothing. I said, look, take a penny. No, man, you don't have to give me nothing. I said, no, I have to give it, but take a penny. Because I don't want something for nothing. Because nigga come back later on, Man, I gave you such and such and such. I gave you such and such and such. No, nigga, I paid you a penny.
And you know what that makes me think about when, you know, when we think about what the keys are, and you know, it's such an important topic, and I don't think we just realize the vastness of it and just how it's impacting us to just not move out, you know. But it's just that trust. I think trust has just been so broken with us. I don't even think we trust ourselves really enough to be with people so that we can do what the Amish are doing. I don't think we trust ourselves enough.
Meaning what? That we will break tradition, we will break the law, we will fall victim.
That we can't even hold the discipline to be in an environment like that and just mentally just know that you're going to be okay. I don't think we have enough of that. Otherwise, I think more of us would just step out on faith and have faith in Allah and just do what we need to do and know that we can. And if we make a mistake, know that we have the ability and everything that we've been given to correct it. I mean, with everything mm-hmm. that we've been, I mean, we've been given the answer
yep.
to every possible solution. So then what would stop us other than the lack of trust among our own self? With my own self, I don't trust that, you know, I could really do it. I don't trust that I could go down here and, you know, I might get into an argument and then I might have, you know, we just, I don't know.
Well,
I think it
know,
starts
it,
with us as individuals.
Yeah, I call it a lack of confidence in self.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lack of
mm-hmm.
confidence in self and a lack of confidence in others.
In
you
others,
have no confidence.
Yes.
You know,
right.
So you just have to, you know, make a stand. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, the Mennonites say, make a stand. They say, look, working is life. See, we don't think working is life. You would have said, working is worse mm-hmm. than dying. Not stop working. Stopping work is worse than dying.
Mm.
Stopping work is worse than dying. Now, you
I believe it. I believe it. My father, you know, he transitioned almost at 93. And one of the biggest concerns my older sister had being around him was that he was just going to do too much and something's going to happen and he's going to get hurt. And he said to me once, he said, you know, he said, baby, I got to keep moving. He said, because if I don't, I'll just die. Worked all his life, so it's like, how is that living just sitting here doing nothing?
Right.
Waiting on what?
Right, right.
And how old was he when he died?
He was nearly 93. And still cooking, still trying to be out in the garden, still in his tool shed trying to build something.
Yeah.
He was mad because physically his body was giving up on him, but the mind was still there, but the body was like, look. And he was upset that the body wouldn't keep going. So when you say working is more important than dying, I bear witness. I saw a man just like that.
Yep, that's the old spirit.
I know.
That's the old spirit. That's what got us through all the turmoil and tribulations from Shabazz 50,000 years ago until now, through slavery, until after slavery.
Yes.
Got us through until integration, and they told us, hey, no, you can sit down with us. You can make money doing nothing like us. You can be like us. And they tricked us, you know. They tricked us, and now we're sitting around. We don't know what to do with ourselves. You know what I mean? I can hardly sleep at night because I be thinking so much about what I got to do tomorrow and trying to organize that, and then all the other things I'm supposed to be doing. It's hard for me to even sleep because I'm thinking all the time, because I'm working all the time and on a whole bunch of different things.
Yes,
and
right.
So I'm looking at how can somebody be bored?
Oh,
the only reason they can be bored is that they are boring. The only reason they can be bored is because they are boring.
Yes.
They don't have a life. They don't have a goal. They don't have an ambition. They don't want nothing. They just want somebody to give them. And then they get fat over what somebody give them, you know. Get you a double burger, you know, get you a what they call it, when they give you the supersize.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, supersize.
Well, we saw what that led to, that supersize.
Yeah. I mean, you see people walking around, and you say, how can you do that? Why would you carry all that weight? Doesn't that hurt? I mean, doesn't it hurt your bones? I mean, aren't you worried about tipping over? I mean, aren't you worried about hitting something and cutting yourself because you thought you were smaller than that? You know what I mean? I don't understand it. You know what I mean? Just huge.
Right.
Do you
it's
ever
a manifestation? It's a manifestation of our lack of discipline. And I think sometimes it just gets to a point where you already know you've gone out there farther than maybe you think. Then you think you can come back and you just deal with it the way it is.
And we have a caller.
That's just
okay.
Like our community.
Okay.
I mean, so it requires discipline. And sometimes
another call.
Have
can
to,
you say we got another call? Roll.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Bring them on.
Okay.
Caller with the last four digits, 5406. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm from Lakeham. This is Zatima from Richmond. How's everybody doing?
Doing fine,
ma'am.
Praise be to Allah. So great to hear y'all excited voices this evening, preaching and teaching the truth and guiding us in the right way. Sister Jita had mentioned keys to success, so I started doing some research. And I see where the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad talks about in Chapter 31 of Help Self, what must be done with the Negroes. And he goes deeply into it about how we were brought here to work. And we have worked, and we are still workers. And some of us are so, like Dr. Ridgie said, what are we going to do if we can't work for the white man? How are we going to live? What are we going to do? Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, as a people, we must become producers and not remain consumers and employees. And also he teaches us that we must begin at the cradle. So this scenario we're talking about this evening, it focuses on adults. It focuses on the we people that want to keep our foot in the grave, want to continue to mess around, want to continue to be in this world. And beloved, our job should be with those babies, whether it means teaching them on the farm, bringing them there once a year, whatever, what have you. But we must teach them with excitement that I hear tonight in doing for self, because if they get it, then they're going to leave us in the dust with whatever ideas we have on it. And we're on fire. And we can't get those ones that are stuck, that want to remain. That's where law has them at. And that tug of war, I don't have the energy for it. And me, myself, I see myself saying, I'd rather give my brain power, my labor, and my wealth towards the future. So that's what I like to offer. Anytime we want to talk about getting those babies out there and having them out there, whether it be for a camp in the summer, to help plant, to help pull weeds, we have to instill in them that this is their future, this is their farm. And when they can see the big picture of what's for them, we won't have to grab them by the neck and the yoke to get them to do for themselves, because they're gonna jump at it. So that's my share.
Thank you very much.
I agree.
I agree with that 100%. Only problem is when they come down to the farm, they're not going to see no families down here. They're
you know what?
No
I was just thinking
here.
That. I didn't want to be no, what do you call it? Corn.
That's okay.
Ice cream or whatever,
I'm
but
Zatima, you Uncle Ridgely, Auntie Ann and Uncle Carlton and Aunt this and we the aunties and the uncles. As a matter of fact, I was on a trip with MUI today, a field trip, and sure enough, when them sisters in junior FYI got an order, I said, "Beloved, we are MGT wherever we go," and they looked at me like, "Oh, I didn't know she could discipline, huh? I'm your aunt for life." So we family, mm-hmm. we family. That's what they're going to see, us as the example, setting an example of that love for that soul, that love for self. And that's where we have to start with our babies.
But yes, that's true. But again, if they don't see other children
right.
on the farm, if they don't see a family, they don't see a family mm-hmm. who's happy living like this, then what happens is it's like we trained them at the MUI, then they go away to college, and they get a degree and go work for the enemy making bombs. Because we got no
yes,
place
sir.
For them to work.
Yes, mm-hmm. sir. We got
yeah,
we got to make
well.
Some place for them. That's right.
Yeah, we train mm-hmm. them well, but then they go off to mm-hmm. school and they get a degree, and we don't have a way to hire them, and they come out of school making $60,000 a year. And we can't pay them that. I mean, the brother who came here, who got his apprenticeship here, we got him in college down here in Georgia. He went on to get a master's degree, and he came out, and they offered $60,000 straight up. And that's where he's working.
Mm-hmm.
Only about 40 miles from here. He's working, making $60,000 a year. We can't even afford to pay him $30,000 at the farm. Okay?
Yeah, we don't have a decision for him.
Okay? So I'm saying is our responsibility to develop a community and
right.
businesses for the children, not just teach them what they need to be doing, but to show them by having something for them to do when they've done what you told them to do. So once you tell them
mm-hmm.
what to do and have something for them to do, and don't put them out there on their own, they got to figure it out for themselves, and they wind up what? Getting pregnant, get somebody pregnant. See, the whole game plan with the whole system is to keep you playing until you get somebody pregnant or you get pregnant. Okay? Then you got to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You come out of school with debt. You get somebody pregnant. You are locked in. You got to go to work for them. And we don't have no place for ourselves to put our children to work. So it's up to us to make a community
right.
for the children, for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and they can see future for themselves. Right now, the only world they see in terms of where you can make money is in the devil's world, and the lifestyle that the devil presents is what we, even though we say we believe in the teachings, we present. You got to have the fanciest car, got to have the sleekest clothes, okay? Dress from the tips to the toes. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, brother. Man, them shoes you got there. Ooh, man, they match that suit, man. Man, I'm going to give me some of them gators. Man, that brim you got, brother. Yes, sir. Oh, man, that's that much. But, hell, that's the same thing the Negroes do. Now, the question
yes.
is, oh, okay, brother, there's some bad shoes, man. Who made them shoes, man?
Right.
Ain't nobody making them shoes. What about that hat? Anybody making that hat? Anybody making that suit? Anybody making that dress? Okay, now, if we making it, and they say, man, that's bad, man. Where can I get it? You know, okay, Brother James, Brother Billy, or Sister Ann, go talk to them, man. They can hook you up, man. They can make something for you. Now we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're talking about what you look like and go right downtown town, buy it from the Jew. Come on, now.
Yeah. And I hear you, Sister Zatima. I really do. And I was just waiting. It's like, I feel a little different about that, though. And then when you mentioned what you did, Dr. Ridgely, you know, I didn't feel like I was just, you know, kind of out there, because if we're sending our children someplace and sending our children someplace and sending them someplace to get an education or a skill or a trade, and they're looking around and they don't see a community of people that are embracing what we're having them do, then they go back to their city or wherever they go back to. And the question is, well, why aren't you all here? Why aren't you
mm-hmm.
all here? I'm concerned that when we read about, and our children read about Wall Street and the accomplishments, and when they read about what we did in the presence of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and what we were able to accomplish, and I'm concerned that it's like, where are those people? Because we don't have any examples. I think we're in a time now where if this is what we want our children to embrace, then we have to embrace it. It's
right.
It can't be a visit to an experience This has to be our way of life at this point. So that means we have to embrace it and bring our children with us, showing them that this is how we're going to live. Because that, I mean, that could be a good experience. I've heard this brother talk about how, man, I remember back in so-and-so when I went to the farm as a child. You know, he's not trying to do nothing like that now. It was an experience.
Right.
Our children don't need it. I mean, I'm not saying that's not a good thing or that doesn't have, you know, some positive aspects to it and some helpful things and could possibly spark some things in their life down the road. But then at the end of the day, where are the people? Where are the people? Where are the people that are embracing the same thing as me?
And
I mean,
have,
I'm... No, go ahead.
I was looking
they
here. The messenger actually has an answer for that, too. He has an answer for that as well because he talks about how in this country, most of the universities and colleges are filled with, like, thousands of youth from all over the world. Yet these
mm-hmm.
children come and they get these, they get the knowledge Dr. Ridgely was talking about, and they go back to their
mm-hmm.
countries, and they don't care
exactly.
if they don't make the 60,000. Like, for instance, I turned down certain monies just to teach at MUI that I never got paid. So what? That wasn't the important. The important thing was to be
mm-hmm.
there for
mm-hmm.
my community. So therefore, yes, where are those people? I believe there are a lot of those people out there. And I believe that those people need not only the knowledge of themselves, because there are some of those that are wanting to do for self, but they just don't have the knowledge of themselves. And then you have those ones that have the knowledge, but just don't understand, like you said, Sister Majida, the urgency of
mm-hmm.
it being right now. It has to happen
right now.
So I get you. I get you.
Mm-hmm.
I get you. I've just, you know, I just try to chip at it the best way I can, and I say to myself, it's got to be through the future. But I see what
yes.
you're saying, definitely, that if you don't have
well,
the support of the rest of the family, how does that help if the child is
right.
just there for a minute, you know, as opposed to the future where they're there on a more continuous basis? So then according to what we're hearing throughout the nation, there are a lot of us that are ready for it. So, inshallah, we are ready. So, you know,
and
we just have to know what the next steps are.
See, the one thing that could have been done, even in the cities, is for us to have gotten together
mm-hmm.
with like minds and set up businesses that produce products that can sell to any and everybody. In other words, we could have done that, even in the city. We didn't have to leave the cities to follow the instructions of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We could have
mm-hmm.
set up bakeries. We could have set up clothing stores. We could have set up clothing manufacturing. We could have set up shoe manufacturing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We could have set up building homes. Okay? We could have done food and clothing there and had restaurants. That's something that we could have done in the cities. Honorable Elijah Muhammad did that in the city. So it's not a situation where everybody got to come to the country to prove themselves. They got to come
mm-hmm.
to the country to do for self and be an example for their children. And all over the world, people are examples for their children because the people are doing something productive, setting up businesses, small businesses, growing the big businesses, and they're hiring family members and children and then outsiders to the business. Everything starts with the family first. The family to develop a business. So, again, we're not thinking business. We're thinking job. We're thinking consumption. We're thinking, I get a job so I can have a life. We don't see having a business as life, okay? We don't want to live like that. Well, that's what life is all about, and that's why we're dead, because we don't see life as business. Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, business is life, life is business. That's what business is, life, okay?
Right.
So we're going to have to move towards being a part of business, and so we can hire our young people. We got to be able to hire somebody, but you got to
mm-hmm.
have a market for your product. You got to have a good product. That's what we're trying to do with the Staple Goods Project to develop businesses that we can hire people. Okay, because that's where it's always been in the world until recently, when they put us on these plantations and got us used to working for master, then going down to master's store buying for master. And when they found out that we started making our own product after slavery, they threw us out and gave us nothing. They thought we was going to die in actually two generations. And they looked around, and we had towns, we had hospitals, we had medical schools, okay, we had car manufacturers going on in that segregated, separated situation. And that's why they had to come and blow us out of that and make us all consumers, run us out of that, because we turned on to ourselves. And now we don't know how to turn back to ourselves because we got too many cookies, hand in the cookie jar, and we don't want to let go.
I agree, 100%.
So, you know, it's like, yes, Sister Nyambe, I am patient because I'm waiting here for y'all. I mean, I'm already in heaven. I got me a good wife, okay, who takes care of me, all right? We work together. We actually can tolerate one another, even though I am kind of difficult to tolerate. But, you know, we can do that. We can't wait to get back to the farm. You know what I mean? We go away, we can't wait to get back. So we already in a type of heaven, even though we work like hell, but we are in a type of heaven, and we accept the work. The only part that really frustrates us is when we get frustrated, okay, and, you know, got too many things going, and we can't, you know, things don't work out right. You got to keep fixing this, fixing every time something break, got to fix this, got to fix that. And ain't nobody here to fix it, so you got stuff to break in the house. You know, stuff breaking, the water system breaks, you got to fix that. The well stops, you got to figure out how to get that going again. Then you got stuff, the tractors don't work. You know, it's frustrating all the time, but guess what? That's life. If I worked for the enemy, I'd be frustrated all the time too. You know what I mean?
More so.
But then that's right. But then, hey, I go give me something to drink. Give me some weed and go look at TV. Okay? That's the lifestyle.
Well,
we used to fighting each other over who's to win the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Who's with the MVP? Super Bowl. No, man, he should have been MVP. You know, see, he did. Get a life, man.
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, that made me think about this brother earlier this, I think it was Monday, Sister Majita tried to call me. Then she left a message that this man had killed three people, one in Dawson and two in Braunwood or something of that nature, and they were looking for him. Well, I was reading the account of what happened today in the paper, and I'm thinking, even on my way home, I asked my husband, I said, now, why would somebody kill all those people and not take their own life? What makes them think that the other people didn't want to live, but he wants to live? Now, today they were saying he went home. He's from Parrot, Georgia. He killed the mother and two men. It wasn't the children. And the woman he was dating, he didn't kill her. But I'm thinking, why would he do that? Why would anybody do that? Take a life and then keep their own life.
Well, you know, you can't fix stupid. And you can't fix crazy. You know, people just crazy because they're what? They're not looking to do anything for anybody. They're looking for people to do things for them and for them. So they're very self-centered. I mean, you look at the Amish. When they do communion, they use one cup, and they pass that cup down, and they realize all of them will probably get COVID-19, but they was going to keep their communion, and they went through it, but now, you know, they decided they was going to live their tradition. And what's their tradition is being together and working together, not being socially distanced, not having masks on so they can't see one another, not drinking out of the same communion cup, not going to church every Sunday, not going to church. No, they go no. They gonna do they gonna live their life until they die. And they're gonna work until they die. Now we gotta have that same look, we say that God came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, he's gonna use us to build a whole new world and a new universe to come after that world based on that. And we give him that opportunity, and here we shucking and jiving. We shucking and jiving, listening to the to misinformation from the devil because of the training that we got as a medical student. We're going to listen to the devil's lies. And you can't, you got to know that they're lying to you, you doctors, black doctors, Muslim doctors. You got to know they're lying to you. And yet, the fit in, you going to continue that? So, no, you know, this is just straight up a pestilence from heaven. It's time to leave because the pestilence is going to burn you out. Just get up and go. Like we said, we keep the lights on for you. We be right here waiting.
Yes, we will.
You know, because, I notice all the time we go out to deliver produce when we used to travel a lot, and people say, well, yeah, I got to make it down to the farm. I'm looking at them, yeah, I made it up here. How come you can't make it down there? Well, guess what? Y'all gonna have to make it down here now. Y'all got to find y'all way. You got to get y'all a map because it's getting too hot up in them cities, you know, and the system is shutting down, and a lot of people are quitting their jobs, and the system is breaking down. They trying to make people take the shot, and the people say they're not taking the shot, and so what's happening is businesses are having to change and say, okay, look, well, look, just don't say nothing. Come on in here anyway. In other words, they can't get no help because people now are determined that they're not taking the shot. Those ain't taking the shot. So everything is in a tremendous turmoil right here. We didn't know how this thing was going to fall. We didn't know how in the direction it was going to fall. You know, the fall of America. We're looking in it.
Right.
We're living in it. And white folks are telling each other, we need to pull out of the system. We need to have our own community. We need to shop, grow, produce, and sell amongst one another. We need to come out of this system. This is what white folks are doing. They're pulling out. They're quitting their jobs and pulling out of the system and going amongst their own people who they can get along with and develop their own community. White folks are doing it while we're still debating.
Like-minded. Pooling their resources with like-minded individuals.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And trying
they go
to do
what?
That.
They go survive. And hopefully
we
go get it finally and go along with the teachers of Elijah Muhammad and Mr. Farrakhan, and let's go ahead on and build our own communities. Let's start producing and trading amongst one another to live. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum salam.
Walaikum salam.